Blog Talk Radio.
Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. You're listening to the Saturday Morning Show. Hey, keep that dial tuning because we got a great show for you. Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. The number is 929-477-4186. Keep that dial tuned in because we're going to have some folks calling in from Africa, Liberia, and other countries discussing the Ebola situation going on in Africa. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
A wise man wins a battle with his mind. A fool can only rely on a bullet to be heard.
I began warriors, I began soldiers, I began hustlers, I began hustlers, and war is over, come to the end. Warriors, I began warriors, I began soldiers, I began hustlers, I began hustlers, and time is now, we must come to better, better, always by the setter. For a long time, we've been in the wrong weather. We've been fighting one another, killing one another. For the greed, for the money, sometimes for the power. Now the war's over, and things are getting better. We gotta learn to forgive, gotta come together. We all family, blood thicker than water. It's time to help one another, better, better, better.
I began warrior, I began warrior. I began soldier, I began soldier. I began hustler. I be hustler, the war is over, come together, warriors. I be warriors, I began soldiers. I be soldiers, I began hustlers. I be hustlers, the time is now, we must come together.
I be warriors, I be soldiers. Their life is resting on our shoulders. It's time to come together, time to make our country better. No more living on the bullets in the stormy weather. We gotta help one another, get up, stand up. United we stand, divided we will fall, brother. We gotta help one another, get up, stand up. Liberia come together, we can only get stronger.
I began warriors, I began warriors. I began soldiers, I began soldiers. I began hustlers. Liberia hustlers, the war is over, come together, warriors. Liberia warriors, I began soldiers. Liberia soldiers, I began hustlers. Liberia hustlers, the time is now, we must come together.
The power of wisdom, thought, and word is the weapon of a strong, intelligent man. The weapon of a fool is the gun. He lacks the intelligence to resolve any disagreement without violence.
don't see no one to get with me. You my mind playing tricks on me.
That's true love.
Show me always on my mind, what can I do to make you mine?
have a jealousy on you because I'm baby. I'm too old and not going to understand. But I guess the teaching knows it all. So I become the fool who
we the maid. Hey, look at her booty. They're telling me, baby, I like the way she's walking, making me talking. The way she's blubbing, making me going wow wow.
If you're in the Philadelphia area, Pennsylvania, and you're looking for a real good restaurant, check out Limading Restaurant, African Restaurant and Bibitry on 6620 Woodland Avenue, Philadelphia, PA 19142. Telephone number is 215-726-0543. That's Limading Restaurant. They make the best acheke in town. They're right down 6620 Woodland Avenue. Tell Mr. and Mrs. Kaba that Bismarck and Radio Talk 101.3 sent you. You're listening to Radio Talk 101.3. This is the Saturday morning show. It runs from 10 till 12 o'clock. The number is 929-477-4186. Keep that dial tuning because we've got a great show for you.
Come on.
We're my ladies.
For your ladies. Come on.
Girl, you look so sexy. I'm with them girls. And I'm so sexy.
Oh,
you look so sexy. She don't say I want you because you're too sexy. Girl, you look so sexy. I'm with them girls. And I'm so sexy. Whoa, yes. You look so sexy. You don't say I want you because you're too sexy. From a distance, the way you foot and walk, walk. You make money, collect. You make money, what's up? Your face look right, your body look tight. A true African beauty, baby, you not cutie. I swear you not sweetie. Oh yeah, baby, I swear the lies. I'm feeling your mug. One for carry you, one for love with you. Right now, all the time, every day. Baby girl, you got me, you got me, you got me.
game, cause you'll be our friends. Cause I got many friends. You want a number two, you want a jingling, jingling. We gon' have fun, more flexing, more bumping, more action. Show some loving, give some loving, show some love. Yeah, girl, you look so sexy. I'm with that girl, you're down too sexy.
See the girls that just.
She don't say I want you cause you're too sexy. Hey, girl, you're so sexy. I'm with you, girl, since I'm too sexy. Whoa, yes, you're so sexy. She don't say I want you cause I'm too sexy. I'm seeing different girls in my life.
That's right.
In my life, I'm picking girls. I'm number one.
No better word. This type, this type,
yeah. Black skin, thick ass, baby, that's how I like. Body shape, size, cocoa battle. Like them, let them know, let them feel special, like an African queen, like an African princess.
Yeah,
hey, girl, you look so sexy.
Come on, up with them girls,
and I'm too sexy.
Whoa,
you look so sexy. You know, say I want you, cause you're too sexy.
Hey,
girl, you look so sexy.
Up with them girls,
and I'm too sexy.
Whoa,
yes. You know, say I want
high,
cause I'm too sexy. Sexy, pretty, cute, and thing. I like the way you smile and call. Even the way you dress, oh, cause you got me so beautiful. So I'm on it, and I hope that you feel the same with you. Cause I'm on it, and I hope show your lady she's a fan.
She's a fan.
Black and thick as colors of light. It's nice, kiss. That's how we like it,
like
you all night. That's how we do it.
Come on,
things,
come on, come on.
Things right now, when I look at you. Things right now, when I look at her. Things right now, when I look at them.
The guns are thinking
for my African lady.
Yeah,
girl, you look so sexy.
I'm with them girls,
and I'm so sexy.
Yeah, the girls that just
sexy. She don't say I want you cause you're too sexy.
Hey,
girl, you look so sexy.
I'm with you, girl,
since I'm too sexy.
Whoa,
yes, you look so sexy. You don't say I want you cause I'm too sexy.
Freaking girl,
girl,
I'm too sexy.
Cause
I'm too
pretty.
Oh,
I'm
I love you, Mom.
Mommy,
Mama, believe everything you tell me now.
I
should do my best to prepare for the future. I love you.
Jackie Rattles.
For sure, I love you, Mom. And I will do till the end. Daddy, tell me, Mom.
Bare, 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 bare
Custom design digital security system. Check out Carmen Dooley Security, 267-254-2994. CCTV, burglar protection, fire alarm system, home theater design. That's the custom design digital security system. Carmen Dooley Security, 267-254-2994. They're one of the best in the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania area. Tell Mr. Dooley that Bismarck and Radio Talk 101.3 sent you. You're listening to the program Let's Talk right here on Radio Talk 101.3. And the time now is 10:44. The number is 929-477-4186. We're going to give you some headline news from around the world. Ebola to last at least 6 months. The outbreak of Ebola in West Africa will take at least 6 months to bring under control, the medical charity Medicine Sans Frontières says. New mass adoption in Nigeria. Reports emerge of a new mass abduction in northeastern Nigeria, suspected to have been carried out by Islamic militants Boko Haram. Grace Mugabe enters ZANU-PF politics. The wife of Zimbabwe's president, Robert Mugabe, enters politics after being endorsed to become the head of the ruling party's Women's League. Kenyan prisoner graduates in law. An inmate and convicted murderer at a high-security prison in Kenya graduates with a diploma in common law and huge celebration. Powerful Somali warlord on the run. A Somali military commander says he is on the run after a government operation to disarm him prompted fierce clashes in Mogadishu since 2011. Diwani fit to stand trial in South Africa. Democratic Republic of Congo war crimes test case. Botswana runner faces ban over drugs. Libyan parliament seeks foreign help. Africa's only polar bear passes away. I did not order killing. Mubarak. Spain sees Surge of Migrants by Sea. Joseph Warungu. Why Kenya's politics are trading blows. Female techies. The women blazing a trail in Senegal's IT industry. Image conscious. Are Nigerians too touchy about how they view? Ebola crisis vastly underestimated. Kenya at high risk of deadly Ebola. Untested Ebola drugs can be used. Liberia buckles under Ebola strain. There's a headline news from around the world, and you're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
You wanna hurt me? Bring it on. Me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. Your credit's gonna swap on this love. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. Your credit's gonna swap on this love. Shorty, shorty, me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. You better gonna swap on this love. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty, shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. You better gonna swap on this love.
Remember, say you enemies no one for make you prosper. Then go do them best for make you come suffer.
They never, 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 never want to see me go big bone. They want to hold me down and never want to let me
go. They want to put you for stress, pull you not the earth. Now the earth can return you to dirt.
They never, 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 never want to see me go before. They want to hold me down and never want to let me go.
Them on fire. They don't really, really know what they're supposed to do. Do you like that? He's so dumb. He's trying to figure you. Then no, they're wasting it to do another to hurt you. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. You better gonna swap on this love. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. You better gonna swap on this love.
Go ahead and do. What you wanna do to me, yeah, yeah, ooh, trying to hurt me, looking forward to destroying me, yeah, ooh, but I still love you, even when you hate me, I will bless you, even when you hate me, I will give you my food, when you are hungry, I'll be around.
Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. You better gonna swap on this love. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel. You better gonna swap on this love.
Remember, say you enemies no one for make you prosper. Then go do them best for make you come so far.
They never, 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 never want to see me go before. They want to hold me down and never want to let me go.
They want to put you for stress, pull you not the earth. Pull you not the earth, can return you to dirt.
They never, 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 never want to see me go before. They want to hold me down and never want to let me go.
The greatest weapon left is love.
You love them, you don't really put them on fire. They don't really, really know what's in for you. Do you like that? He's so dumb, he's trying to figure you. Then
know that what's another doing another hurt you. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel good. You better gonna swap on that love. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta giddy giddy. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta shorty shorty. Me gotta love, me gotta love, me gotta make it feel good. You better gonna swap on that love.
Yeah, you're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Time now is 10:51, and you've been listening to the program Let's Talk. The first portion of the program runs from 10 till 10:59, and the second portion, the after party, runs from 11 till 12 o'clock. The number is 929-477-4186. You can call in to holler at your boy Bismarck, or you can call in to send a request out to a friend or family. Or you can just call in to weigh in on the conversation. We're talking about Ebola in Africa and the threat to spread around the world. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
Cada verano, al despertar el calor de la mujer, da vida a una leyenda urbana. La mano peligrosa, mami. ¿Tú sabes? ¡Vive, boy!
35 de calor, el verano comenzó. En la fiesta estamos hot.
Talk 101.3. We got two guests on the line. One is Miss Kim Douglas, and the other is Mr. Joshua Nangwe. Could you please introduce yourselves to the public?
All right. Thank you very much, Bismarck.
Is that Mr. Nangwe?
Yeah, Numba. Numba.
Okay, that's Mr. Joshua Numba. He's calling in from Liberia. And next on the line is Ms. Kim Douglas. Would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, this is Kim Douglas from the U.S.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have these distinguished guests on to discuss the Ebola situation going on in Africa. And the threat to the spread around the world. Let's start with Mr. Numba, who's calling from Liberia, where the Ebola has been killing a couple of citizens in Liberia. Mr. Numba, what's the situation with the Ebola in Liberia as of present?
Firstly, thank you very much. Firstly, I want to say good morning to all the dear listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Joshua Numa, CEO and founder of the Christian Youth Empowerment Watch that is based in Liberia, a youth group that that is involved in molding the mind of the youth that have been deprived of the right during the Civil War. Also, youth that are involved in drugs, the lack of education, teenage pregnancy, forced marriage, and many things. Thank you very much. The issue about Ebola in Liberia is very severe. Ebola virus, that is also known as the Ebola hemorrhagic fever, is a rare and deadly disease. And Liberia has a country has fallen into something called a trap of Ebola. Now, many people are dying of this disease every hour as we speak. And in fact, for my environment, for where I live, my zone, I live on the Bushwa Island. To be specific, the borough of Nukutown. In this environment, I have almost about 30,000 people, more than 30,000 people live here. The virus is spreading. Yesterday, a health worker that I know, he was one of the workers that worked at the Redemption Hospital, he died of this Ebola virus. Another pastor again died yesterday around the coastal area. Many people are dying. And the government coming up saying that a state of emergency, I don't see you know, much a work being done by the government. They are not doing. They are not putting more time. They are depending on a wherein there are more money the government can generate to help. For instance, the government they were like waiting for aid before they buy protective gear for our health workers, and they are putting them in danger. For me, I have two of my sisters in the nursing field, and then they are like complaining every day whenever they go on the field. They say, oh, today I was afraid to touch this person because I had no PPE, no personal protective gear. So the issue here is that many people are dying because the health worker, they are not being motivated with some fundings. Like, maybe you go on the field. You can tell me this health worker go on the field with empty pockets and you expect that person to work on an Ebola patient, risking their life, and come back empty home. When the health worker die, the government has nothing to do for the health worker. Instead, they will say, oh, sorry. And I don't think Liberia is progressing on this Ebola issue.
Okay, Mr. Numbe. We heard that the president, after the Ebola situation became critical in Liberia, the Liberian government released $4 million towards the fight of Ebola. And then quite recently, the president of Liberia, Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, called together the healthcare workers and publicly apologized to them and then released another $11 million towards the healthcare situation and fighting Ebola. My question is, if Liberia has all these money sitting there, and the president can, you know, write up these checks so easily, why is it that the government of Liberia didn't use these funds to properly prepare the healthcare facilities like JFK and other medical facilities to be ready just in case something like this arises?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You see, our country, Liberia, is that country we... Most of the people in position, they don't have the country at heart. There are people who don't have the country at heart. They want to hit the highest level of the country, getting all the big jobs, sitting in the offices and then ask for money. When the money comes, they use the money on themselves, and this is not good. All the money, the millions of dollars they've been projecting are, oh, we get $3 million, we get $4 million. You can't tell me the guy in the office, he should be making about 3,000 USD, while the person, the common man, the common environmentalist that is working on the field to carry a single Ebola body, and then you're paying the man $50. You see, they don't have the country I have. They are not patriots. In a town like this, in other countries like Kenya, the people prepared. The moment they heard about this Ebola issue, they got everything prepared. They set up units to take care of people. They evacuated all citizens from like public schools and started making people understand the risk of this Ebola. They why can they come by? People start coming together because they were patriots. But our government, be shot, they will sit in the office and say, we don't care for that people down there. And then the health worker will go on the field with inter-packet, with our PPEs, and then they just sit and kill themselves because they are nurses. They have life. They have family. Most of the people holding the position in Liberia, they don't have the country I have, my brother. They don't have the country I have. And this is killed in Liberia. This is killed in Liberia.
It's a serious situation. Ms. Douglas,
yes.
You've been listening to the whole conversation. You are in the United States. And
right.
Please tell the public what is your specialty, and then please elaborate on this Ebola situation in Africa and how it's seen from the Western and European world.
I am the U.S. coordinator for the Christian Youth Empowerment Group, and I'm in contact with everybody in Liberia. I talk to people in Liberia pretty much every day, and really the situation didn't come to light until just a couple weeks ago in the U.S. I mean, we would hear little bits and pieces about, oh, the Ebola virus is spreading, but until recently, like now, it's the top news story every day, so people are becoming aware of it. But I really don't know that. I know that the FDA is sending test drugs over there to see if it works for people. But again, because it's a test drug, the supply is limited, so it's probably not going to help too many people. And I know that the World Health Organization is also doing a part, contributing money to try to get things under control. But I think as individuals kind of have to step up too to help with sanitation and to help just raise awareness so that people in Liberia can stop spreading the disease.
Yeah, and we've just heard recently that the number of cases have been underestimated. There are more cases than have been reported to the medical institutions. So,
they probably don't want the number. They probably don't want the real number to be made public. They're probably always going to underestimate the true number, I would think, because people are scared.
Right. So, because they are trying to ease the fear in people, they won't announce the actual number of cases. Is that what you're
right.
saying?
Yeah, that and probably they probably don't even really know the true number. Like, I think when somebody is getting sick, they might assume that it's Ebola, but they're not really confirming the cases. So yeah, I think the number is always going to be lower.
Okay, and could you please tell us a little bit about this Christian organization in Liberia?
Go ahead, Josh, that's you. Joshua Nugbo is the founder of the Christian Youth Empowerment Organization, and he does so much for the local communities in Liberia. He is a huge supporter for children empowerment. So he meets with the children, and he actually did a little drug awareness session with the children and handed out pamphlets so they know about drugs and the ill effects of drugs. And he actually, when the Ebola virus broke out, he had awareness sessions with them on like washing your hands regularly and don't shake people's hands. Like, he's just raising awareness for the youth in Liberia and trying to empower them and help them live better lives.
That's very noble of him. We've just got another caller. Could you please introduce yourself? Area code 770. Hello, this is Bismarck. Could you please introduce yourself? Area code 770.
Sorry, this is Joshua. I dropped the line and I'm back.
Okay, again. Mr. Nomba is back. Okay, we lost you a little while ago. So we were discussing the Christian organization that you had in Liberia. What has been the effect on the youth in Liberia concerning the Christian organization, and how is the government assisting this organization to make an impact in Liberia?
Yeah, brother, let me tell you this. You see our government, like what other government in the West and in other areas, whenever they see a young man coming up or anybody coming up with a dream, you know, something that will move the country forward, They will embrace that person and hold the person closer and draw the person closer to see to it that this dream is like lighting and moving on high. But in Liberia, it's different. Can you imagine? I wrote many projects for the youth. I wrote a project and submitted it to our own representative of my district. A proposal for a research center for youth of Nicotin. Imagine the child, you will get a child assignment. The child have to do an assignment that is due in 2 days, and the child need a chemistry book or a biology book. Let me tell you something. Most of the books in Liberia are outdated. You can tell me the child doing a biology assignment that they're looking in a book that was revised in somewhere around 1972, and then you expect a child to go in an old book, do all knowledge, take some old knowledge stuff from there, and bring it to his friend to do that assignment to the teacher, and the teacher accept it. The child will walk several hours somewhere from living on Nicotine, going or even like Finsbury to do an assignment, or go or East Aquaway, or maybe Simple Bridge to get an assignment done. And when that child bring an assignment, it's something from an old book. And this is why you see educational system in Liberia is getting poor. This is why I wrote a project called a research center for the youth. I wrote this project that they will create a building where they will have a research center that will have something like a library or computer lab that will host about 50 persons a day. But now it's every hour, 50 students every hour. You just walk, the students just have to walk in with your ID card, give it to the person at the door, sign in for 1 hour. After 1 hour, you leave. Another student come again and replace that student to do the assignment. Every hour, 50 students. Imagine if this is going on, you will see most students doing the assignment from the internet, getting research done, and you will see them progressing. But now in our country, it's different. If you write a project, I wrote this project, and nobody, not a single person tell me, oh, let me see this project. This project, you write them, they will say, come, and your shoe here will finish. They don't have passion. They don't have passion for the youth.
Mr. Nungwe, that sounds like a real good project. Did you present it to the education ministry in Liberia?
I presented it to one of the minister on projects. I submitted a project before, and they will tell me, go come back. They will ask you, bring this other document. You bring it, and they will ask you, oh, go come back. Come this other day. They will drain you. And sometimes they use, that's the bad thing they do. They will take your project, if your project is good, they will use a project and give it to another elite group, you know, some group of their interest, and give it to them. And you'll use your project behind you, and other people will be funding the project while you're sitting, not knowing that your project is being used. And this is bad. The government should be having funding for local youth organizations to empower youth. In Liberia, they're not empowering youth. Another project I wrote is empowerment for the prisoners. This program involves in training the prisoner in skills management like computer science, like cosmetology, or architectural design, mini architectural design, or construction, plumbing, other things. Their project, you see that the guys in the prison, they will go in the prison for 7 years, maybe 5 years. You can keep somebody in prison 5 years, and then the man come back, you say, oh, the man won't be stealing, or this guy want to be stealing, you want to be stealing continually. No, because you are not.
He needs to be rehabilitated.
There are no rehabilitation centers. My project was focusing on taking them while they are in prison, like somewhere like Bourne County or maybe Grand GDM. You build a very big center. While they are in prison, you are teaching them to become good citizens. You are teaching them, remodeling the mind. This is what my organization is focused on. Remodeling the mind of the youth. Getting that guy, the guy, you removing the stealing from him and giving him computer skills. You removing the arm robbing from this guy and giving him a carpentry. You taking the guns from this guy here and making him to know how to repair people's computers. You taking the prostitution from this girl and giving her skills training like plaiting hair, like making soap, hair dressing and interior design. But the government, supporting our project, and the our representatives, the senators, and our big shots in the government called the ministers, they are not doing anything. Recently, we launched a project. This is the project that we launched. We launched a project to eliminate the spread of Ebola. This project was targeting for a small community of 3,500 family heads in the human panel community. This is our recent project. The project we want this project to buy buckets. We want to buy buckets to put at major centers in the community. Well, when you pass in the community, you can take your hands and wash your hands. Because honestly, this virus is weak. When you can take your hands by observing or common hygiene, you will be free from this virus. But if we've been calling on people, writing our project, writing government officials, writing ministry, even the Ministry of Health, they can't tell me they buy one single bucket to share to anybody in the community. They're not even just taking their time to say, let me take this time to buy hand sanitizers. This is why the Christian youth watch. We taking up this responsibility. Imagine in poor density populated slum. Families are unable to buy faucet buckets. Imagine chlorine, detergent, and hand sanitizer, soap, other products to help prevent the Ebola virus. The fear of Ebola is added to the hindrance to the community. Most of them are struggling in a ramification of like the 50 years war that we fought. Most people don't have these things, and they are of concern because most of the health areas like the Redemption Hospital, the cardiac clinic in Nicota, most of the GFK, most of the people are closing, and the life of people are in great danger. Imagine. You can leave from your apartment to go to Redemption Hospital. Redemption Hospital could report, drive you, say, leave from here. And imagine maybe that child get coma, and maybe the child's chest is pulling, hurting, and that person is gripping, the person crying for help. The hospital will close the door on that person, or you get a little malaria in you, and then you're crying for help. They won't help you. You see, so the Christian you watch, we stand ready to show off some of the responsibilities. Like buying the faucet bucket, we're raising funds for buying the faucet bucket and sharing it at various locations in the communities.
So, hospitals are closing their doors to patients not knowing what the sickness is, if it's Ebola or it's just a common malaria. So what is the government doing to change this process that is going on?
The government is not doing anything. All they want to do, imagine you call for a state of emergency. I thought they would be empowering. I thought we'll be seeing in various communities, we'll be seeing health workers or in our PPEs working and tracing Ebola cases. But now what we are seeing in the street, we are seeing soldiers with guns. Can you fight Ebola with guns? Can you fight Ebola with weapons? With armed forces of Liberia? These are not the people. When it comes to help, you know there should be people in a help that health center to fight Ebola. When we come to war, the soldiers, that's the time we call the soldiers. But they are not doing. They are pumping. Imagine, I think it's 200,000 that Minister Brandy Samaka, the defense minister, he received for operation. And our brother name will be in the corps. Our sisters that are in the armed forces wearing our uniform, bearing the flag, they will be in the corps and they will get just only like $50 a month, or $150 a month for pardon people who stay in the corps. And then they say the quarantine area. If they quarantine the area, there should be health workers there, not soldiers.
But Mr.
There should be health workers.
That is true, but Mr. Number, we also heard.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Bismarck.
Mr. Nambe, I'm sorry. We also heard that even though there's the severity in Liberia concerning the Ebola situation, but we also heard that there are a lot of Liberians that are not adhering to the medical precautionary measures, and there are a lot of Liberians still in denial of the existence of Ebola in Liberia. How do you address that?
Yes, thank you very much. You see, the issue there is that in Liberia, Liberians are people who believe in seeing. If we see something, that's the only time we believe it. How will you expect a common man, the man that is living in local town, the man that want to be mowing his grass or smoking opium in Sion town, or the man who ride his kino in Nuku town to believe that Ebola is real? The government will just come, oh, Ebola is real. They will come on the TV. How many people get TV in their houses? How many families get TV in their houses? If you come to Nuku town, maybe you only find like 1,000 TV in Nuku town. Some of your community that have more than 20,000 inhabitants, you only find 1,000 or maybe 500 TV. How many people get TV? The government will go on the TV and say Ebola is real. Ebola, you should be careful. Ebola is real. Wash your hand or message from this and that. The government is not doing anything. There should be awareness. Let me tell you what the government should do. Imagine the government, all the millions that they're receiving, they should buy projectors. Buy projectors, take some Ebola documentary, like what my youth organization is doing. We usually take some documentaries from other countries that have been going through the Ebola, and even some documentaries from Liberia. We go to the communities and show them on the big screen. We walk to people and say, oh, see this video. This is how Ebola treats you. This is how the people contract the virus. But they are not saying the common people, the government, want to go on the radio, Ebola is real, Ebola is real. Let's save our country from Ebola. And then, why would the owner of the man get real and real? How would the man understand this Ebola issue, my brother? You are not telling the man. The man is not seeing anything. Let me tell you what the point the poor is. The poor say, y'all show us the Ebola patient. They are not saying, the poor can't see even the video. Our government information ministry that we get, they are like dummies. They are not doing anything. They just walk over and say, Ebola is real, and eat all the money. Why can't you take the money to put the dual winning method in place? Youth empowerment is just simple in this country, but they are not using their brains to do this. You could recruit about thousands and thousands of boys, put them in the community, young people. They will get the message around. Put them in Vera pickup and put a projector there in the evening. When you reach in the Sionda community, you put your projector on and call everybody. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, come together so we can have an Ebola awareness or movie. This documentary and start showing. Oh, Ebola will happen in Uganda. They were at the Kibwe Hospital. Look at this. This is how the book working there. Person, oh, yeah, this is real. Look at your brother in Liberia. You see that person over there? That person was a doctor. And the person was infected right here in Liberia. You see, Ebola is real. And the fear of getting the man because the visual act, people understand the message enter the human mind quickly by hearing and seeing. So if they may see an Ebola patient dying, and say, oh, that person in Liberia. That Liberia water and the government showing, I think this Ebola thing is real, I should be careful. But they are not doing the thing. They're walking in the office wearing a necktie. They want to eat all the money with their big gut and say, yeah, Ebola is real, Ebola is real. Brother, the government is not doing anything. Until they can go in the community and show the people Ebola by showing them on the screen. It just come on. Now we are in the technology war. We should be using technology to spread the news. Look at in Nigeria, the virus just came to us in Nigeria just a few weeks ago. But the government put up all the IT guys over there, the bloggers, the guys on the social media, and put in one big building. They get posting on the internet, posting on Facebook, posting in various groups, people seeing the message, posting on cell phones, and people getting the message. But look at Liberia. We just said even the information ministry is not doing anything. They don't get to talk. The information ministry should be there to spread information. But even the ministry that's sending to take money, and when people try to talk against the government and talk the wrongdoing, they want to arrest them. Let me tell you, our country, the government, they are not doing anything. And this is crucial. This is bad. This is sad for our whole country like Liberia.
That is sad. All this information you've given, that is sad. So you're saying that the lack of awareness and education is a major problem in Liberia concerning Ebola right now. And Miss Kim.
Yes.
You've been listening to Joshua talk about the situation in Liberia concerning the Ebola and the lack of government participation and education and awareness to the people. He also spoke about the Christian youth participation in trying to educate the people and create the awareness about Ebola. He also spoke about Uganda, where I remember the situation with Uganda. Uganda had to undergo a revival to come to where it is now. Do you see such in Liberia? Do you see that Liberia needs to go on a spiritual revival to bring about all these changes in Liberia?
Yeah, I think until everybody is made aware of the situation, it's only going to worsen. So I think any kind of spiritual revival or community revivals, whatever it takes, just to get everybody aware and to realize that the situation is real and it is very serious. I don't think it's going to really get better. And like Mr. Nukba said, I don't think the government is really doing enough to help the people of Liberia. In the U.S., if something like this happened, like they would boost up the manpower in hospitals to kind of get the situation under wraps. And in Liberia, they're actually working opposite, and they're shutting down facilities so people can't get care when they need it. We just had a couple youth in Liberia that were sick from malaria, and they couldn't get to a doctor because the doctor said, oh, I'll see them if they don't have a fever and they're not vomiting. But if they don't have a fever and they're not vomiting, then they're pretty much healthy, so they wouldn't need a doctor. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of scare and a lot of the lack of awareness, I think, is causing a big problem too.
So how is your branch in America trying to create support for the Christian youth in Liberia to be more proactive and
Well, Joshua does lead like awareness sessions there, but right now we are running a campaign. We partnered with another group called Michael Jackson's Legacy, and we are doing a bucket drive right now so that we can get buckets with faucets so that they can be placed throughout the community so that people can wash their hands regularly, and there will be signs telling people to wash their hands and the importance of washing your hands so that the Ebola virus doesn't spread. So that's a project that we have going on now.
That's a good project. Can you please tell our listening audience, those who are interested in helping, where can they send these things to you?
Sure. We're partnering with Michael Jackson's Legacy, and you can visit their page on Facebook or michaeljacksonslegacy.org, and there is a link there for the bucket drive to kick Ebola out of Liberia. If you want to buy a bucket, the bucket is $15 for one bucket, and that does include like the money transfer fees. And if you just want to donate any dollar amount, it would be helpful because they still need to buy the chlorine and the sanitizer or the detergents so that the water will actually kill the virus. So yeah, michaeljacksonslegacy.org is the organization that we're working with, and you can donate using a PayPal account. And there are names on the website, too, if you wanted to contact somebody for more information.
That's very good. besides the Ebola now, let me ask you, how is your organization in the United States creating the means in Liberia for the Christian youth to spread its message around, to bring youth awareness and to, you know, to convert youth to Christianity and also to be a more productive in the Liberian society today. So how is your organization here in the U.S. Preparing programs for the Christian youth in Liberia?
Well, we are partnered directly with the people in Liberia, so we just have meetings and discuss hot topics such as drugs, and we'll just design, whether it's an awareness session or a brochure that can be handed out, materials that can be discussed at the church, and really the people in Liberia are the ones that are presenting the information, but as a group, we kind of come up with the ideas and get the information ready to be dispersed.
Since you've been dealing with the Liberian Christian youth in Liberia, what has been the downside? What has been the hindrance to uplifting the organization there?
Probably, of course, funding, because people are skeptical to give money and to donate to things that they're not, or to organizations that they're not really sure of, and because there is so much scamming happening in the world that people just don't freely donate. Like they'll donate to bigger organizations such as Red Cross, but the smaller organizations that actually do get into the heart of helping children and really don't have a whole lot of support.
That is interesting, Mr. Nungwe.
Yes.
So we see you face with some difficulties in Liberia with the youth, not the youth per se, but with the government. What would you what do you want to say to the Liberian government right now concerning the youth in Liberia, the Christian organization, and the situation with Ebola?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. My message to the government and everyone that is listening in the entire Liberia and the world, I want to call on the government to put more time, more funds, in youth empowerment. Because youth empowerment is the torchlight of every nation. If the government empowers youth, my brother, my sisters, I want to tell you that Liberia will be a better nation in the next 10 years.
But let me ask you something, Mr. Nungwe. Let me ask you something. There was a situation concerning the youth education in Liberia where the statistics show that there were a huge failure in the university when it comes to Liberian students. What do you think led to that?
Brother, the information that the University of Liberia or the person that was over that department at that time, brother, is false, is misleading, and they just wanted to create a bad impact on the country. Imagine you can tell me thousands of people go for an exam and everybody fails. I think it's something that have no sense in it. There are brighter students that I know, bright students that went for that exam. Let me tell you the secret. Every time you go for a university exam in Liberia, they don't really look at you. Sometimes you take the exam, they don't care for your name. They just pick and take money for some of their interests, and then they run you in university. Let me tell you, I graduated from school since 2009. I've been fighting to enter university. Each time I try, I will try. No way. Why? It's because I'm not pumping in the money. I'm depending on the brain. It was just last semester that I decided to change. I said, let me go to a private college And my USA coordinator, she decided to sponsor this drive and sponsor a few other students.
Very good.
So this is how I enter.
That was very good. Miss Kim, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
We wanted to thank your organization for lending a helping hand to Liberian students, especially when it comes to education.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's important that the children have an education. I mean, they are the future, and their education is going to make the country better. It's going to build the country and help it to survive. So I think it's really important that the children have the education. And of course, in Liberia, there aren't a lot of public schools. So if they can't afford the tuition, then they can't go to school. So it's kind of a bad situation.
Yeah, because 85% of the populace is living on less than $2 a day, which makes it very difficult to feed their family and send them to school.
Exactly.
So there was this there's this gentleman called Otto Lowy for president of Liberia who spoke about in his format he has a mandatory and free education for Liberia from primary to high school. What do you think about that?
Anything that would be free of cost is beneficial if people have access to it. Like I don't know the location of the school and how people would get the transportation to get to and from the school. But yeah,
that's another problem.
Yeah, exactly. And transportation in Liberia itself is a nightmare because there's just not enough taxis for the number of people. And I know the daily commute for so many people is a struggle. But yeah, that free education is an awesome idea. There should be more.
Well, I think all of these things could be accomplished. I think it's the negligence of the Liberian government, just not putting interest, not prioritizing what should be prioritized: health,
mm-hmm.
education, and all of that. So
true.
Now we see the Christian youth in Liberia, the situation with the Christian youth in Liberia, and he spoke about Uganda. Uganda is somehow of a model country in Liberia when it comes to Christianity because they made a 180 change looking at the time of Idi Amin and looking at now. How do you see the Christian organizations in Liberia, the churches in Liberia? Are they in the interest? Are they helping out the people also as you are with the youth Christian youth organization?
Is that directed to me, to Kim?
Yes, Ms. Kim, because we lost Mr. Joshua.
Okay. Yeah, I think the churches are very helpful for the children. Besides giving them the spiritual lift that they need, it helps to build confidence. Religion is beneficial in so many ways because it just gives you hope and gives you spirit. And I've been to some churches in Liberia, and to me it was amazing. Like the amount of worship and praise that goes on was unbelievable, and kids look forward to it. It gives them something to do and something to believe in. And I know that a lot of them need that. They love it. Like, it's their passion.
Let me ask you a direct question. This is concerning homosexuality and Christianity, because it's a serious situation going on right now in the third world, where the West and Europe have told the third world countries in Africa that if you don't legalize homosexuality and put in laws to protect them, the West and Europe are going to withhold financial aid to these third world countries. You as a Christian, how do you see that?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one because in Uganda, the government went against homosexuality and had laws in place making homosexuality illegal. But just recently, there was a case won in Uganda in favor of gays and lesbians. And the case is still ongoing. They're trying to have laws put in place legalizing homosexuality in Uganda. And like I said before, Uganda just made a drastic change. You know, Uganda has become a Christian state right now. So it's a big problem for you, Ugandan government and other African government. You as a Christian, how do you see this? I see it as a black male, you know, to the third world countries.
It is, and I personally don't think that any funds should be withheld or halted because of individuals. As a general community, most people probably are on the same page and have the same beliefs, but I don't even know how to answer that. I'm stumped. That's a tough question.
It is a tough one. It is a tough
it's
one.
It's so controversial.
It is, and it's a problem right now in Africa. You know,
yeah.
Where there are some of the populace that are in favor of it, and rumors spreading saying that. It's been pushed among those that came from America and Europe, you know,
yeah.
Who are now trying to enforce this in the third world countries. I see it as a black male to the third world countries, and I think they should hold their ground and not accept that into their laws.
Yeah, but then they lose out on the funding. It's
they
kind
lose
of
out
like
on
a double-edged sword.
Well, yeah, but they uphold their moral rights, their
right.
God-given
True.
Rights.
True. Yeah, it is definitely blackmail, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to – you need money to survive, and with if they don't change their ways, then they don't get the money. So it's very – yeah, blackmail.
It is. So how do you – how do you see the Christian organizations or churches here helping the third world countries to fight this blackmail?
Oh.
That's a tough one.
I know. All of it, yeah, anything like any topic that you get into, it's actually the politics of it. It's very difficult. I guess. When you're looking at it, you just kind of have to stand your ground. And if your beliefs are anti-gay or gay, then if that's what you believe and that's what your congregation believes, then you just have to find other sources that are on the same page as you. I would guess. Like I don't know that there's a way around the situation without changing your beliefs, and most people don't want to change their beliefs.
Do you think the churches are stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do when it comes to homosexuality, and are they educating the masses?
I don't think that the topic is as strong as it used to be. Probably because they know that it's so controversial. I know that, like, when I was growing up, it wasn't even really a topic of conversation. And now, again, it seems like it kind of became a topic of conversation, and now it's kind of dropped off again. I don't know that they're really pushing the issue, probably because there are so many on both sides.
Do you think, Ms. Douglas, that they're holding back because they don't want to lose the congregation, and losing congregation means losing offerings?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to sum it up. Yeah.
So is your organization here? Are you people going to help the Christian organization in Liberia somehow fight against this? Because this is completely against Christian morals.
Right. It really isn't a topic that we bring, or that we were bringing up, because we were working, like, typically with the youth, and there are topics that pertain to them more directly, such as drugs and pregnancies, and right now the Ebola. So, I mean, yes, it's definitely something that they need to be made aware of, but it's nothing that we brought up directly with the children at this time.
The reason why I'm talking about it, Ms. Douglas, is because I've had calls from Liberia, from a lot of youth in Liberia, and
mm-hmm.
they've called for financial help. And we don't mind helping them financially because we know they're in need, and the Liberian government isn't doing anything. But
right.
it was strange to hear from them, from these young men that, you know, they've been out in Liberia looking now for jobs. They're qualified for jobs, but their employers will only employ them if they allow them to sleep with them.
Oh, geez.
The employers are men.
Yeah.
And they want to sleep with these young men before offering them these jobs. So this is a serious problem in Liberia, and it's escalating. So that's why I'm asking you these questions about it, because if nothing is done about it in Liberia, it's going to get out of control.
Yeah.
And now Ebola has come in the mix, so everybody has forgotten about that, and they're all concentrating on Ebola now.
Right. Yeah, it's sad in any situation where they're using children that way. I mean, it was a big problem in the U.S. It seemed like child abuse was a hot topic for a while, and I'm sure it still is. We just don't hear about it as much. But yeah, any time that you're using children or forcing somebody to do something like sex acts for any kind of advancement, it's a crime. It's really a crime.
Right. And the sad part about it is that the churches in Liberia are not saying nothing about it when they should be the one very vocal about it.
Yeah.
Because it goes against every principle of Christianity.
Oh, sure. It goes against it goes against morals in general.
Exactly. So we do appreciate what you're doing for the Liberian Christian youth in Liberia. We want to thank you. And we want to admonish you to keep on doing what you're doing with your organizations. We at Radio Talk 101.3, we're here. We are available. You can call upon us anytime if you need us. And we will definitely work with you. And we want to say thank you again, Ms. Douglas. And please keep up the good work you're doing for our people in Liberia.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you. That was Ms. Kim Douglas, one of the supporters of the Liberian Christian Youth in Liberia. It's a shame that our own Liberian government and people are not helping in the way we have foreigners helping in Liberia. And, you know, concerning this situation with homosexuality in Liberia, you know, the Christian churches in Liberia needs to be more vocal. You know, apparently they're only out there for tithings and offerings when the masses are going through uprising and moral degradation. So we hope that the Liberian government and the churches in Liberia, you know, do more and become more proactive in the Liberian Christian Youth Organization and help the Christian Youth Organization in all their good proposals. Like Mr. Joshua Nomwe said, you know, he put together a couple of proposals, and not one agency of government or a church even looked at it. And these are the youth in Liberia, you know, the youth are the future of Liberia, you know. So the Liberian government needs to do a whole lot more. And concerning the Ebola situation, like Mr. Joshua Nungwe said, the Liberian government is not educating the people and not making, they are not making the awareness of the Ebola and how to prevent it. The Liberian government has the money. Don't tell me it's, you know, it costs so much money to buy buckets and sanitizers for the people. Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, president of the Liberian government, just released $11 million towards that. I mean, what are you keeping the money for when there's, you know, prioritized needs in the country for these money, you know? So the Liberian government needs to do more. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. The time now is 11:46. We've got about 14 more minutes here, and we're going to get into some music. Let's get into the song, Every Day is a Miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. To my Father up here, thank you, Lord, for life.
Yeah. Welcome to Western Love City, baby. Now, let's roll it.
I know her.
I know my baby girl.
I know her.
And she loves me.
I know her. She loves me. Anything she wants, I do for her. I know her. She loves me. Oh, girl. Oh, girl. I know her. She loves me. Anything she wants, I do for her. I know her. She loves me. Oh, girl. Oh, girl. I met her in the club. She's so stressed up. She only looks so sad. Even though she's dressed up, but she was messed up. She was so mad.
And a lover, maybe gonna go further as the father of a son and a daughter. Kiss me, baby, let me have more. Let me have more kiss that you can't stop. Kiss me, baby, let me have more. Let me have more kiss that you can't stop.
I do for her.
Look there, down in Africa, down in Egypt. Hey, first into nature, spreading around the world like wildfire, like a plague. Oh, what's going on? It's a roll call. It's a call to the world, to the leaders of the world. You can't be holding on like that, like it's your own.
Nah,
we gotta change the system, we gotta change the world. Hey, huh, I'm talking about the new generation. I can feel it in the air.
Ooh,
come on, come on.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world.
Dangerous
world. Hey, I can't believe that America's changing the colors from red, white, and blue to red, white, blue, gold, green. The colors of the rainbow, if you know what I mean. Yeah, and where's the United Nations in all this situation? Who's gonna stop the slaughter of the Libyan people? You know what I'm saying? And where are the leaders of Africa? You know they can't even solve the problem in Ivory Coast. How they gonna even solve the problem in Libya? It's a serious situation. I can hear the crowd of people. I can hear the cry of the world. What we gonna do? What we gonna do?
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world.
Dangerous
world. Some say I'm political. Some say I'm controversial. What do you say? You know the truth and I know the truth. What we gonna do about the truth? Hey,
yeah.
Obama in a timeout? I don't know. It sounds like a clown out. It makes me wonder if G. the Bush was around, what would be going on with the crisis around the world right now? Yeah, I know he put Charles Taylor in a lockup. Now there ain't no way he's gonna lock out. Yeah, I want to say to our Christian and Muslim brothers around the world, just love one another, make a better place for our children for tomorrow. Yeah, you know.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a
dangerous
world?
Yeah, this is my time to get out of here.
Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Yeah, this is Bismarck. It's about time to get out of here. We love you. Love, peace, and happiness. Have a blessed weekend. Make sure you tune in same time, same station to Bismarck and Radio Talk 101.3. To all our international listeners and listeners in Africa, hey, we love you out there, and we do this just for you. Hey, to the world, this is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. We love you. Peace.